thank you for these words. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, turn to Judges chapter 9, and Isaiah's prophecy was the teaching. Okay, I'm going to try to stay on target. Keep things interesting. Name some judges. Anybody can name some judges here? See how many judges you can name.
Samuel.
No. First.
Gideon.
Dan.
The chick.
Abimelech, which is a bad one.
Was Job
Samson?
Samson.
Samson.
Ehud.
Ehud.
Yeah, God stick that poked him.
Ehud was crippled in his left hand.
Okay, who's the guy who had the stick?
I think it's Shamgar, or the ox goad.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Anybody know about Jotham? Actually, his name is Joham.
Is he the prostitute's son?
No, that's no. Jephthah.
Jephthah.
Jotham. And until yesterday, I don't know anything about it. Does anybody in here know the curse of Jotham?
No.
Or Jotham?
No,
there's a curse. And Yahweh, it's just scriptures, the curse of Jotham. And what I felt important to share it is Isaiah's prophecy too, speaking. Yahweh's given us authority to speak. I was trying to find out a way to communicate it, because just by speaking it doesn't mean necessarily things are going to happen. I was trying to think about a way to articulate this. And I was saying, if Vera was on my front porch, so we're newly married, right? Money's tight. Right? Don't fight because of money. And I said, if I was watching you on the front porch talking to a salesman, and I'm listening, and Vera goes, "Oh yeah, my husband would love for you to paint our house," how would I feel? No. And there's times in our own lives that we are not in line with the Word. And if it was my son who is prodigal, who doesn't want anything to do with Yahweh, and he was there, going, "My dad will do anything I want. I'm not going to do anything until you get back in the light." And there's times, just because we speak the Word doesn't mean things. You have to be in line, and Christ is there with us, and He has to be in it. So another example that what's real neat about this is there's things that we can't put our mind on. We can't really grasp what exactly is going on. But with the centurion type of faith, the centurion comes, and he says, "My servant is sick." And they go, "He's a great guy. He helps build a synagogue." Christ is listening. Is Christ the Son of God? Does he know how to heal people? Is he smart? He says, "I and the Father are what? One." Does Christ have a solution on healing the centurion servant? Yeah. When does the guy go, "No"? He disagrees with Christ. How do you... I know you think you're smart, but this is... And so you can imagine, he disagrees with Christ, and Christ is like, you can imagine the disciples going, "How's this going to work?" And how I thought about that, and then he went, "Hear me out, Mashiach. I am a man in authority, as you are a man in authority. When I tell a man to go, he goes. Or I tell a man to come, it comes. I understand how authority works. You say the word only." And Christ marveled. Isn't that neat? Jesus Christ was not Yahweh. He was the Son of Yahweh. Christ had to produce faith just like us. That's why he's seated in the right hand. And this guy blew Christ's mind when I haven't seen this kind of faith all the time. But what did he do? He was there with Christ. And then he had to work it out and explain it. And I was thinking that with Vera on the front porch going, "Sure, my husband would love for you to paint my house." And I'm sitting there going, this ought to be interesting, because I'm watching it on my phone, my watch. She goes, "My brother just sent me a $100,000 check." And I'd be like, "We will paint the house, and we'll put it in a hot tub if you want, because that would make it." And so so where I'm going with this is, by speaking, if we are in fellowship, and if we are in line with Yahweh and Christ, is it His will and His word? Okay. And then be ready to back stuff up if you have to. Yahweh's watching to see what we're doing here. And so Jotham, and what I love about this teaching is because I don't know how many times I've read through the book of Judges. A lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. And there's always chapter 9 is the weirdest chapter ever. It's about the sons of Gideon. And one of his sons' name is Abimelech. Abimelech means "my father, the king." He's the son of a concubine, and he's going to murder Gideon's 70 sons. Okay? Not a good guy. And then one of the sons is going to escape, and his name is how you pronounce it, is Yothawn, like Yothawn. Strong's number 3147. You know what it means? Yahweh is perfect. Yahweh is perfect. Yahweh loves. I was talking to Izzy. It was on my heart that I owe him money because I burned out his VCR 1997. And he goes, "That's ridiculous." And the words came out of my mouth. Yahweh loves a balanced scales. I need to fix this. And he responded, "I caught your TV on fire. We're even." But does that honor our Father? He loves balanced scales. And in our lives, we have voter fraud, people stealing elections. What can Isaiah do? He can't even vote. And there's voter frauds. You got people taking packages of ballots and sticking them in boxes. What can you do? Nothing. I mean, you pray about it. And in my own mind, until I read this, Yahweh opened my eyes that there is something we're actually supposed to do. And we're supposed to be cursing things. So you see, in Genesis chapter 12, Yahweh said to Abraham, "I will bless who you bless. I will curse who you curse." Say the word, Abraham. You got to be obedient. Right? Yahweh made Adam and Eve in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he made he them. What are they? They're little Elohims. And they're supposed to be walking on the earth acting like Elohims, not animals. Jesus Christ came and the people marveled, "What kind of son of Adam is this?" He's a son of Elohim, walking and speaking and cursing things and blessing things and releasing words and power. And this chapter, what I want to do is, what we're supposed to be doing with these elections is not just be praying. We're supposed to be cursing. We're supposed to be releasing the power in it. And this whole chapter, it's 57 verses. It's a long chapter. And the beginning of the chapter is Donald Trump, is Donald Trump, is Donald Trump, and it's the Rhino Republicans. Because what happened with Gideon? Gideon, they're in slavery. They got the Midianites and the Amalekites. They're in slavery. Gideon's confused. He thinks Yahweh's abandoned him. He's forgetting about all the idolatry in his father's front yard. He gets rid of the idolatry. They're going to kill him. He delivers them. How many years? 40 years. Did they owe Gideon? Yeah. What do? It's not just his son Abimelech. Abimelech can't do anything on his own. He coerced people, and he went to his people. But wait a minute, where's the rest of Israel? Why did they go to arms to battle this guy? We don't know. The scripture's silent. But what this is going to be, in my opinion, they got prosperity, they are free, they got money because of Gideon, and now we don't need Yahweh anymore because the wars we're getting to read about, it appears that this is between the sons of Aaron, not being delivered from Abimelech or Amalek, from the Midianites, not from the Philistines. It's going to be Abimelech and these other guys, Sechem, who are these guys? We don't necessarily know. It's going to be about a war about these unbelievers fighting. Why are we reading a whole chapter about unbelievers fighting? Remember when the millstone gets thrown out and kills this guy? "Oh, don't kill me. I don't want anybody to know a woman kill me." Yeah, Yahweh got that one too. But you'd read this, and here's Gideon. 70 sons are going to be murdered. And it is great on Word of Promise, because on Word of Promise, Gideon kills the 70, and one, the youngest one, hides himself, and his name is Abimelech. And he said that they forgot Jerubbaal, they forgot Gideon. What happened to President Trump after his last election? What have the Republicans done to him?
We're talking about not Gideon. You're saying Gideon.
The sons of Gideon. And I said Donald Trump. So Donald Trump right now, I'm going to compare Donald Trump and them. Not what they do to Gideon. We don't need him anymore. They didn't remember what Gideon did. And so with Donald Trump after the election, what happens to him? Look at Mike Pompeo turned on. Mike Pence turned on him. All these Republicans turned on him. They don't. What did he do? He brought the greatest prosperity that our nation's seen. It was 4 years. He flipped things around. He did it for free. And we don't need them anymore. And so it's going to be a very similar. So we're going to read before we read all this, so I don't miss anything. You're going to read. Here's my Bible. This is just the beginning of the murdering. This right here, that's the curse. Well, that's not for the cameras, for you guys. Oh. This is a curse. The Yotham releases a curse. The rest of this is two wicked people destroying themselves. The curse is, you're going to destroy each other. China's going to destroy Russia. The Democrats are going to destroy the socialists. You're going to murder each other in front of everybody. The fire's going to come out. Look at this. So that's this whole, the majority of this chapter is the curse of Yotham coming into fruition. Destroying themselves. We should be speaking to the socialists. It's going to, we'll go over it in verse 23. And Elohim let go a spirit or a ruach of mischief. All of a sudden they're turning on each other. Ah! But look, if you turn to the conclusion of the chapter, just turn to chapter 10 and read, what's the purpose of all this? Why are we reading about the Democrats destroying the communists? Why are we reading about this? The conclusion. And I used to listen to this from Word of Promise. It's so weird. It was so, until today. Because Gideon's sons die. His sons murder 70 of them on one stone. How evil is that? Jotham gets up, and he gets on top of a mountain, and then he speaks this parable about the olive tree said, rule over us, and the fig tree said, rule over us, and the bramble says, rule over us, and the bramble's going to do it, and fire's going to come out, and then he took off running. If you listen to a Word of Promise, you're like, I got no resolution. What was that all about? What happened to Yotham? I don't know. Read the last verse. Let's see here. 56 and 57. Somebody read it. It's the purpose of the chapter.
Thus did Yahweh recute.
Yeah, so then read back, read the footnote. Requite.
Which is bring back.
Bring back, okay.
Requite. The wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in slaying his 70 brethren. All the wickedness also, the men of
Shechem,
did Yahweh recute?
Or bring back?
Bring back. Upon their own heads, so it brought it upon them, the curse of Jotham, son of Jobadah.
What's the conclusion of the whole chapter? How did I miss that? I've never gotten that. This odd thing, and I've read through this over and over, and it wasn't, I'm doing my cover to cover reading again. All of a sudden I went and read that one. Jotham was one man. Okay? Just one. Moses was one man that fought all of Egypt. Jotham is going to flip things and have these guys, what is he going to do? He's going to release his word. Jotham, it appears what he's doing here is he's speaking like a son of Elohim. He's going to release these words. Who does that sound like? It sounds like Yahushua, Joshua, when he speaks to the sun and the moon. Stay still until we finish this work. Who can do that? And here's Jotham releasing it, and then Yahweh gives him credit. And so the point of all this is for us to be empowered. The first, be in line with Yahweh. Just because you curse something doesn't mean anything's going to happen. But practice. And get good at it. Practice on healing things. Get good at it. Practice on, I used to call it supernatural, and it's not above, practice on the impossible things. One thing I'd like to encourage this group is word of knowledge and word of wisdom. If you don't exercise it, you're never going to get good at it. David Remy's excellent at it. Before meetings, he gets peaceful and he goes, give me a word. And I'm sitting here, it's like I'm waiting to speak in tongues. You got to tell that you don't wait to speak in tongues, you speak in tongues. And so he'll exercise word of knowledge and word of wisdom. I think we should start doing that. But this teaching is practice speaking curses to things. So now we're going to read the account. If you guys will take turns, chapter 9, it's 57 verses, and you guys will just take turns.
I see it.
Okay.
Just wait.
Whole chapter?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start off with one. And then went Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, to Shechem, unto the brethren of his mother, and spake unto them, and to all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, and Jerubbaal is Gideon's father. Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the owners of Shechem, which is better for you that there should rule over you 70 men like sons of Jerubbaal, Baal, that there should rule over you one man. Remember that your bone and your flesh am I. So the brethren of his mother spake for him in the ears of all the owners of Shechem all these words, and their heart inclined after Abimelech. They said, our own brother is he. So they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal Berith, and Abimelech hired thereof, loosed a stable men, and they followed him. And he entered the house of his father Ophrah, and slew his brethren, sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men upon one stone. But there remained Joham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, for he had hid himself. Then were gathered together all the owners of Shechem and all the house of Millo, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of this pillar that was in Shechem.
Didn't that really sound like Biden becoming a president?
Yeah.
Who's the president? This zombie? What in the world's going on here? Okay.
And went in and was told Joham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried aloud and said unto them.
So then Yahweh's going to record it. This is always so odd to me. But I'm grateful that I feel like I got to discover something. Now he's going to curse. He's going to do a whole parable. Then the conclusion is going to be verse 20. Okay.
Hearken unto me, ye owners of Shechem, and may Elohim hearken unto you. The tree went their way to anoint over them a king, and they said unto the olive tree, reign over us.
Let's pause there for just a second. What did they say to Gideon when he finished the wars? Reign over us. He goes, I will not reign over you. Yahweh will reign over you. They're always wanting kings, and they go, Yahweh will be your king. And it was not until Shabuel that eventually Yahweh said you can have a king. The thing is, it's a reign over us. So they're on top of these trees, reign over us. So that's what they're talking about. Go ahead.
Okay, and the tree went to, nine, but the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, which in me Elohims and men do honor, and go to way to and fro over the trees? Then said the trees unto the fig tree, come, thou reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I leave my sweetness and my excellent increase and go to wave to and fro over the trees? So then the tree said unto the vine, come, thou reign over us. But the vine said unto them, should I leave my new wine and rejoice gods and men and go to wave to and fro over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou to reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees.
So the bramble is going to be Abimelech.
Yeah.
So here's it. Okay.
Which is a weed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if in truth you're about to anoint me to be king over you, come take refuge in my shade. But if not, there shall come forth fire out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So I want to start off with 16.
Now therefore, if in truth and sincerity ye have acted in making Abimelech king, if ye have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and if according to the deserving of his hands ye have done unto him, in that my father fought for you and cast his soul away from before him and rescued you out of the hand of Midian, yet have ye risen up against the house of my father today and slain his sons 70 men upon one stone, and made Abimelech son of his maidservant king over the owners of Shechem, because he is your brother. If then in truth and sincerity ye have dealt with Jerubbaal, with his house this day, rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you.
Now here comes the curse.
But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the owners of Shechem and the house of Milo. And let fire come out of the owners of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham hasted away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there away from the face of Abimelech his brother.
So, my whole life when you listen to that, it was always so odd, it's weird. What does he do? He runs away. But we can read, read verse 22. And Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. How many years has Biden been president? Okay, so sometimes we're looking going, hey, it's getting pretty bad down here. And Ryan Beatty says, he said something a couple different times that I thought was empowering. He says that Yahweh created Adam and Eve, or Adam, to be in his image, and he said, go subdue the earth. It's your job. Go do your job, and it's our job to steward stuff. That could be with animals, cleaning up jungles, whatever, harvesting things, or whatever. It's our job to do it, and there's things that we're supposed to be doing. Are we doing it? Now, Ryan Bailey's all going to be about evangelism, the church book. I'm thinking about political, and I'm thinking about us releasing curses. This guy gets a lot of print. Jotham gets a whole lot of print, and Yahweh puts it in there. Going to go, and what did he do? One curse, man. And then verse 23, and Elohim let go a spirit of mischief between Abimelech, the Democrats, and the owners of Sechem, China. Wouldn't that be great if the globalists turn on one another? Wouldn't that be great if the Democrat Party turned on the globalists? Wouldn't that be great if this whole woke movement, NATO, or some of these other things, that it's all about these, their gods? What if they turn on each other? Well, why don't we do something about it? Because Jotham did. He spoke it. Was he in line? And he said it right there. He goes, if you've done right with Jerubbaal, then fine. But if not, let fire come out and you devour each other. And Yahweh's watching, going, that's what I needed. I needed somebody to get some work done, and he did. He released it, and Yahweh released the spirit of mischief. And then from 37:23, you start reading about these wars back and forth, and it's a hot war, and there's a lot of print. And Yahweh recounts all of it. Who are we reading about? Yahweh's enemies destroying themselves in front of us. What a great lesson for us to release. Release our power. I don't think, if we had more time, we would read this account, but I'd encourage you guys to read it. What is the lesson of chapter 9? Be a son of Elohim. Release your faith. We can speak to mountains. We can bring back the dead. But I can't bring back the dead if I don't practice on some little things. I'll practice on squat. I'll practice on some finances, some tax money. I'll practice on some dead grass in the backyard. But Yahweh is watching. And He's grooming all of us up if we volunteer like He did David. Was He watching David? Here's David going, I've come from a long line of giant killers. Did you guys know that? David was a descendant of Caleb's tribe. Who said, give me this mountain where the king of the Anak, the giants, lived? It was Caleb. What tribe was Caleb from? Judah. Who hunted and killed the giants? Judeans. So here's King David going, we hunt these things. We look at giants like big targets. It's like hunting an elephant. Is Yahweh watching and listening to these things? What I love when I was reading about that is going to go, do you think the giants knew who hunted them? Everybody else knew who Israel was. Everybody else knew what they had done to Egypt. There are giants on the other side of the river. They whacked them too. But who was the specialist with killing the giants? The lions, the Judah and Judah. And here's David going, I got it in me. If your great-grandfather, if your last name was Lincoln, would you do some searching to see if you're any relation to somebody? Yeah, Abraham, would you forget if Abraham Lincoln was your grandfather? No, you would not. And so here's David. I like to think about John Quincy Adams. What's one of the most famous things about him if you Google him? He's the son of John Adams, the second president. I came from a pedigree, and I'm watching, wondering about Yahweh looking at us going, you guys have the same spirit is inside you and inside me. 2 Corinthians 4:13. That was in David. Unleash your faith. Unleash your believing and ask and say, here, send me. Well, what can I do in China? Open your mouth. Start speaking. And He will work inside you, and He'll start teaching you how to speak these things. And I bet you with Jotham, can you imagine how scared this guy must have been? Abimelech, now Abimelech is king. Where's the rest of Israel? Why hasn't anybody rose up to kill? But he did. I wonder if he just woke up, or he got up there, and you got to say something. I'm going to do something. He did, and boom. What did he do? A spirit of mischief was released. And I think that we, to much has been given, much is required. And this whole chapter, I believe, is for us not to be just bystanders watching what's happening in China watching what's happening specifically in Argentina. They have a big election this next month. We got to get involved. Speak. Release. Volunteer. Go to these meetings, not because you're going to receive anything. Go to these meetings. I'm knocking doors Saturday morning after going to a concert late Friday. Why? I got to do something. All of us should be going to these meetings and things, going not because I'm going to receive, but because I'm reporting for duty, like the fathers of our country did. They showed up not because they wanted to, because they had to. And I heard this one time, he said, our forefathers did not pick a fight with the greatest military on the planet because they thought they could win. They did it because it was right. And what will our children remember us for doing? For being cowards? Because we can't win a fight? Or for doing what's right? And I think it was Hool's Camp or somebody said that. And I went, what will be written and said about us? And so Jotham, Yahweh, is perfect. He spoke a curse and Yahweh. You know, he said, I love that with Samuel. He didn't let one word, a word of Samuel hit the ground. What does that mean? In my mind, I'm thinking, my words are a big mess. Because I don't control my mouth very well. But if we are in line with Yahweh, he can take my crazy words and go, I can work with that. And we can flip the whole election. And we can, if Yahweh can change water into blood, if people volunteer like Moses, he has given man authority, what can we do to voter ballots? If Christ could turn water into wine, with that story, what can we do with these ballots? And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for helping us get involved and for learning about the curse of Jotham. Know, my children, that I wait for you. I wait for you to wake up. Wake up! Wake up! Just as Deborah said in her song, awake! Awake! I told Deborah, the judge, awake! Awake! And she woke up and she spoke to Barak, awake! Awake! Awaken! Allow me to wake you up. For there's a roaring lion that is inside you, waiting, waiting. He is waiting on you to open the cage so he can devour my enemies.
Amen. Amen.